So tonight we are going to talk about something that you don't hear a lot in church about, but it really needs to be addressed. And I believe that God's people really need to know how to address it. And that is, I want to talk to you about suicide. And the reason I want to talk to you about that is because it's so difficult. It's such a thing in churches today that people don't want to talk about it. It's like an anathema. It's like something that needs to be not dealt with. And truth of the matter is, and we're in this series on God's Answers to Tough Questions, is that I don't want you all to be able to answer when people come to you, then they have struggles or they have questions in life. And the truth of the matter is most people don't know how to talk to people who are struggling with suicide. And the other side of it is most of the time Christians, when they do talk to other people about suicide, is they begin to preach to them or deliver them a sermon. And that is not something that, as we see tonight, is something that we should do at all. And as we've said all along, the reason why most people don't want to be Christians is because they know one. So we're going to talk a little bit about tonight and answer this question: what should Christians understand about suicide and mental health? When it comes to suicide, questions are rarely voiced out loud in the church. I mean, I've been in church all my life, and I've never heard anyone during questioning, "What should I do if I feel like I want to kill myself?" Because a lot of that time, people are thinking, this is not something I should talk about out loud. And so it's really never answered. And Christians fail to hear the pain and desperate whispers within our congregations because they feel like they can't go to the pastor or they can't go to the people that they're closest to in their church family because it's just taboo. It's just something you shouldn't do. In fact, most church people even believe that anybody who commits suicide goes to hell. Suicidal thoughts are not only common among church families. Suicidal thoughts are very common even among pastors. I can tell you just in the last year of 6 different pastors who committed suicide. When suicide takes place, it is rare that people outside the immediate family ever discover all the personal facts of a person that commits a suicide. They're trying to keep it low because of the potential embarrassment. They don't really want it to get outside of the family. And so because of this, family members are struck by grief, sympathy, and pain seldom disclose the intricacies and challenges of a diseased person's life. Anybody know someone that has ever committed suicide personally? It's something that's crazy, and it's an epidemic in our society. Some suicides even seem like an impossible riddle to solve, and in the end seems to have no logical meaning. One of my assistant pastors, just a few years ago, his brother, seemingly out of nowhere, just committed suicide. Just had begun to backslide a little bit and couldn't see a way out of it. And so he decided to take his own life, leaving the family wondering what in the world happened. Some suicides even are just have no logical meaning. And so this is what I've seen over and over again in dealing with families that have struggled with this or found out about this. They're left to wonder why. Just a couple years ago, I had to do a funeral for a 13-year-old girl who committed suicide, trying to get her boyfriend's attention. She swallowed a bottle of pills and texted him and said, "Save me." And he did nothing about it. And you wonder, is this girl that came to our church several times and heard God's word and people, we had a great family in our church that just loved on her, but so desperate, so crying out, and it left everyone that knew her wondering why. It was just so surreal walking to her funeral and seeing just basically just a baby girl laying there. Why? And then they start asking, why didn't I see the signals, or what triggered it, or what could I have done better? So when it comes to helping someone who has dealt with a suicide or someone who is thinking about committing suicide, the average Christian feels ill-equipped to respond to a suicide. Do you know what you would say? Do you know what you would do if someone says, "I'm thinking about taking my life"? People who commit suicide leave family members and friends in a state of emotional and spiritual shock. And this is what I found over and over and over again. You know how most people react when a suicide takes place? You know what question they ask more than anything else? Why did God allow this to happen? Isn't that interesting? I find that especially interesting in people who deny God until death takes place. Really, when folks say that, why did God allow this to happen? Here's what they are implying. Why did God do this? When we understand and we understand that God created us in His image and He created us with a free will, and it leaves out the facts involved in suicide. So what I want you to see in this, and we need to understand this, especially in church world, it's not an issue we should dance around. It's an issue we need to face head on, because suicide is an epidemic in our world. And if people cannot feel like they can come into the church family and talk about it, they're not going to feel like they can talk about it anyway. Let me give you some facts about suicide. These are just astonishing facts. Globally, one person dies every 40 seconds by his or her own hand. His or her own hand. Can you think about this? One person every 40 seconds. Nearly 1 million people worldwide take their lives each year. Every 15 minutes, someone commits suicide in the United States of America. Every 15 minutes. So in 5 minutes, two people will have committed suicide. Each year, twice as many U.S. citizens kill themselves than kill one another. Think about that fact. We're trying to get the murders under control when really this is the one that people are just ill. One in five completed suicides in the U.S. involve a war veteran. We're right outside of a major Air Force base. This is something we as a church have to learn to address. There are more people struggling with PTSD than you can imagine. Males take their lives at nearly five times the rate of females and represent more than 80% of all U.S. suicides. Unbelievable. Think about this. Suicide rates for females are highest among women aged 45 to 54. Think about that. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among college students. Think about that. This is when, you know, most people think now it's time to live. Now it's time to have fun. And this is the second leading cause of death among college students. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among people ages 15 to 24. That just blows me away. This one, I could not believe. Suicide is the fourth leading cause of death among people age 10 to 14. There's two in my family at that age. You can't even look at our own children and think that they can't struggle with this. Think about this. For every person who takes their own life, there are 25 unsuccessful suicide attempts. Isn't it? These numbers begin to arrest us. These numbers let us know that this is an epidemic in our world. Now, why do people attempt suicide? People attempt suicide for a number of reasons. And the people left behind often never fully understand why it happened. So when it comes to suicide, there's a lot we may never know, but here is what we do know. There's still a lot we don't know, but let's talk about what we do know. The first thing we understand is this: God values human life. This is a principle that we must understand. This is not a political issue. This is at the core. It's a biblical issue. God values all human life. Why? Because God created us to not just live. What did Jesus say? I have not only come to give them life, but to give it more abundantly. God has an abundant life, but we also have an enemy. The Bible calls him, he comes in like a roaring lion, and he's seeking who he can kill and he can destroy. And listen, even if you're a Christian, he may not be able to take you to hell, but he wants to destroy your life in any way that he can. God's word is full of principles that will help us to live our lives with purpose, on purpose. God's got a purpose, and his word will help you to live with purpose, on purpose. So here's the question that we're going to ask, and this is one that is hotly debated. Can a Christian complete suicide? There are some that believe that if you commit suicide, that you're not a Christian. But I believe the answer to that question is obviously yes. So, well, how do you know that from Scripture? Because we've talked about this as a church already. Christians are capable of any sin in the flesh. Christians can steal. Christians can murder. Christians can lie. Christians cannot habitually sin without experiencing discipline from their Heavenly Father, but they are capable of sinning. So the next principle I want us to see is this. Life is a gift from God. And only he has the authority to end a human life. Now, once again, this principle right here is fought wildly in the political realm these days. This principle tells you how we ought to believe when it comes to abortion, how we ought to believe when it comes to assisted suicide. Life is a gift from God, and only he has the authority to end a human life. You don't have the authority to end your life. A doctor doesn't have the authority to end your life. Now, we could get into some complex conversations, but understand this principle is taught all throughout the Bible. Now listen, a Christian can commit any sin. A Christian can be chronically depressed. A Christian can even suffer with mental health issues, which we're going to talk about in weeks to come. Just because a person has received Jesus Christ as their Savior does not get rid of their choice and behavior. It doesn't change their heredity. It doesn't change their biology. It doesn't change their mentality. And it doesn't change their emotions. Here's what we think. We think that when Jesus Christ comes into our life, that remember, he comes into our life spiritually and he changes us from the inside out. But you don't look any different. In some cases, you may not feel any different. You may not think any different. Now, God wants to change all of those things, but he can only do that according to what you let him do. So the question then remains is, do Christians who die by suicide go to hell? Now, is suicide wrong? Yes, based on the last principle, life is a gift from God, and only he has authority to end human life. So suicide is wrong. Suicide is a selfish act. But let me say this very carefully, because we're going to talk about this at the end. The last person, the last thing you should say to a family member that just lost someone to suicide is to go to them and say, boy, they were so selfish. Let me tell you why. Because even the best of people, the worst of people that commit suicide, yes, it was selfish, but in the end, they were deceived. They believed a lie that life was better to be ended than to continue to go on. But what we need to understand is this. There's no passage in the Bible that supports the view that a follower of Jesus who commits suicide goes to hell. Now, some people are going to say this. Well, what about the unpardonable sin? Some people believe that the unpardonable sin is suicide. So let's talk about that for a second. Now, first of all, you need to understand that the Bible does not teach that the unpardonable sin is suicide. Some people take that leap, but they're taking it out of context. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he forgives all of your sin, past, present, future. Okay? Now, is there any sin that God cannot forgive? There's only one sin that God will not forgive, is when you reject him as Lord and Savior. Before you trust Christ, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you do not become saved, then you're not forgiven. Now, that's what I believe the unpardonable sin is. People that say no to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, once we receive salvation from Jesus Christ, that is an eternal salvation. You are locked in. The Bible calls it, you are sealed. And you're in God's family by the death of Jesus. Here's what I think about this. I think about how much I love my children. Think about how much you love your children. Is there anything your child could ever do that would cause them not to be your child anymore? No, there would be some things that would disappoint me. There would be some things that would hurt me. But there would never be anything that my child would do that would say, that's not my child anymore. The Bible says that God loves us so much that the love of a parent looks like hate compared to how much he loves us. So one of the things is when he loves you unconditionally. Here's the other thing. Jesus loves you regardless of what you do. Did you get into God's family by your works? No. Then you can't get out of God's family by your works. Because your works have nothing to do with it. You don't get in by God's works. You don't get out by God's works. It's all done by Jesus. God is the author of life. And only he has the right to bring it to its conclusion. So Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to get there in a second. Because here's what we need to understand. Suicide not only harms the victim, but also the family and friends of the victim. Here's the thing we need to understand. And that's why in and of itself it's a selfish act. They're escaping, but in their escape, they're causing so much harm to those that love them. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're actually going to look at several passages of scripture, but I want you to see this one. Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Notice what he says. Therefore, in light of this, choose life. That when it comes down to life or death, when it's your choice, always do what you can to choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. But because this is great, this is even a New Testament truth. For he is thy life. He's not just in your life, he is your very life. So trust him, cling to him, and then obey him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Talking of the blessing. God desires us to follow him, and he will bless us with a purpose and lasting fulfillment. Choose life. I love what Psalm 147 verse 3 says. He healeth the broken in heart. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. God heals the brokenhearted. He's the one who can bring healing to those that are hurting from the inside out. The truth of the matter is, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And the truth of the matter is, only God can truly heal from the inside out. I love this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. In the context of this passage, because of time, I can't take you through the whole chapter, but in the context of this passage, it's talking about Christians choosing Christ as life, living in Christ, trusting in God. And notice this, that just because we walk in Christ does not mean we're exempt from trouble. Notice this, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're not freaking out about it. Persecuted. Man, this has been hard, but we know that God is with us, but not forsaken. We are cast down. Boy, this is really hard. It's harder than we ever thought. But we are not destroyed. This is Christ's life working in us. when he's working in us, when he's dominating our lives, when we live surrendered lives, when we've gone all in, when we're walking in the Spirit, this is what we can make it. We can make it through anything. And then 1 Corinthians 13:12. This helps us to see that even as Christians, even as brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't always see things from the correct perspective. 1 Corinthians 13:12, in this side of heaven, Even though Christ declares us perfect in his sight, we're progressing until one day when we stand face to face and we are truly made perfect. But he says, for now, that's why we live here. Notice this. We see through a glass darkly. Right now, our perspective is distorted. You know what? I don't know if you've ever been depressed, but if you've ever struggled with depression, and we're going to talk about this along the way, this is what it feels like, isn't it? Distorted perspective. And here's the thing, is no one is immune from depression. Do you know it's the most common emotional problem in the United States? We don't know how dark the darkness is in someone who is depressed. We see through a glass darkly. And through this darkened glass, they cannot see the light of love of others. I've been depressed before, and people love me with all their heart, but I couldn't feel it. I couldn't express it. I couldn't understand it. They can only feel the pressure of the darkness of despair in their mind. The darkness is visible to them, and it's often invisible to others. Our brains are just like every other part of our body. It's prone to illness. More Americans die by suicide than from war, cancer, and HIV/AIDS combined. The one that probably comes to our minds first when you think of famous people is Robin Williams. I mean, how many of us have watched movies where we laughed at him and laughed at him and laughed at him? But yet inside, he was so broken, he took his own life. He was depressed, and he was afraid of his early onset of Parkinson's disease. He didn't want to become a certain way, so he didn't want people to see him that way, so he decided to take his own life. When it comes to suicide, we may never completely understand the answer to the question why. But we don't need to understand that question. What we have to do is learn how to respond with compassion and grace. So here's the question we ask tonight as we finish up and talk about this. How do we intervene when people believe someone is suicidal? Someone comes to you, you have a conversation, something doesn't right, or maybe there's blame to tell you, man, I just want to die. I'm going to take my own life. And here's kind of the idea. Every time a person dies by suicide, there's this contagion effect. That is, you've heard the phrase copycat suicide. That was one of the things right after Robin Williams died. There were several copycat suicides. See, here's the thing you need to understand. Talking intelligently about suicide will not cause it to occur, but it can prevent it from happening. Talking intelligently about suicide will not cause it to occur, but it can prevent it from happening. Failing to talk about suicide can have disastrous consequences. Some parents are afraid to talk to their kids. You know why? Because they're afraid they're going to give them the idea. Can I just tell you? You're not the one giving them the idea. The devil's already working. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to help you a little bit. I'm going to give you a true or false quiz. How many like true or false? I don't, because I always overthink it. So here's what you do. You can write up, you don't have to write down the questions, but I just want you to keep track and see how many you get right, okay? All right, here we go. You don't have to be an expert in what to do, but you can be caring and compassionate. We already talked about it. Here's a true or false. Talking about suicide will plant the idea in a depressed person's mind. True or false? Don't say it out loud. Talking about suicide will plant the idea in a depressed person's mind. True or false? Everybody good? Next one. People who talk about suicide usually do not follow through with it. True or false? People who talk about suicide usually do not follow through with it. Third, most suicides occur without warning. Most suicides occur without warning. Next one. When depression lifts, suicide is no longer a concern. When the depression finally goes away, suicide is no longer a concern. Next question. A suicidal person cannot be talked out of it if he or she is intent on dying. A suicidal person cannot be talked out of it if he or she is intent on dying. Only certain people are the suicidal type. Only certain people are the suicide type. True or false? Only insane or crazy people commit suicide. Only insane or crazy people commit suicide. Women threaten suicide, but only men complete suicide. Some of you are holding your handbag. If a person has survived a suicide attempt, the likelihood of a second attempt is diminished. If a person has survived a suicide attempt, the likelihood of a second attempt is diminished. Next question. People who complete suicide have not sought medical help prior to the attempt. People who complete suicide have not sought medical help prior to the attempt. Finally, suicide is a new phenomenon. No one in the Bible attempted or completed suicide. Now, let's grade your answers. If you wrote true for any of them, you were wrong. They are all false. But here's the thing about it. Maybe you're like, I want to raise my hand. I want to argue this one. Oh, here's my point. Many of these facts are commonly believed and accepted. But none of them are true. So, 5 action steps you can take when you notice someone close to you is talking about suicide or showing signs of committing suicide. So, here's what I want you to do. Now, understand this. And so, as someone who is a counselor and as someone who's degreed in counseling, here's what I understand very quickly. I have to understand my limits. So when I know that I'm dealing with somebody that's way over my head in experience, I have to pass that up to someone more experienced. So before I get into these things, don't try to be Superman. If there's something that's way beyond it, the Spirit will speak to you and you just pass it up. You just pass it up. That's the first thing. Don't try to handle something you're not ready to handle. But here's what I'm going to do is give you some basic things. If someone comes to you and says, man, I'm thinking about taking my own life, these are things that you can do and you don't need any other training if you just enact these things right away. Here they are. First of all, number one, step one, listen and observe the person carefully. Here's what Christians do way too much, and we talked about this last week. Christians talk too much and listen too little. So here's a, because they get uncomfortable, I'm thinking about taking my life. I've seen it over and over again. Then the Christian begins to search the Bible and think about everything that they can think of and begin to preach a sermon and begin to talk and talk and talk, thinking that by their preaching, they're going to save the day. And they'll, listen, you might talk so much that it'll just be like, I'm done. I can't listen to this anymore. Listen and observe the person carefully. Don't preach. Get this. If you have to write this next to it, do not preach at a wounded person. Here's what you need to understand. Emotions are very raw. Think of it this way. Think of if Matt, come here real quick. Max falls down. Fall down on the floor. And he lands on his right arm. He broke his arm. He's like, oh, my arm, my arm. What would you do if I, like, here you go, man, get up. You'd be like, what are you doing? What would you tell him to do? Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Let us kind of get a splint on it. Thanks, bud. You can have a seat. Here's my point is this. If someone was dealing with a broken arm or a broken leg, you're not going to be all rough and gruff with them. No, what are you going to do? You're going to give them care, and you're going to keep them calm, and you're going to be attentive, and you're going to be gentle with them. Well, we have to do the same thing emotionally. The last thing you need to do, Pete comes in, I'm struggling, Pastor Joe. Plus, I hit the Lord, Pete. Point your little finger at him. You get your pointer finger. This is what God says. No, 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 no. You've got to be gentle and attentive, showing care and calm. So what do I do then? If you need to write this down, this is a good thing. Ask, well, what's bothering you? What's wrong? What's bothering you? Let them talk. And remain calm, like, oh my goodness, they're going to commit suicide. No, 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 don't, just stay calm, listen. And if you're in person with them or maybe you're on FaceTime, listen to them and look them in the eye. Because here's the thing you need to understand. A lot of times, people that are suicidal are also self-medicating. They're taking things. Maybe through drugs, maybe through alcohol. But when they're drug dependent, here's what they're doing. They're communicating to you with their behavior and not just their words. What are people that are talking that way, that are self-medicating? What are they communicating to us? Help! Help! Help me from my self-destructive behavior. When they are self-medicating, say something. Carefully observe them, but above all, listen, 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 and above all, don't preach, preach, preach. All right? That'll preach, won't it? Step two, identify with the hurting person. Identify with the hurting person. If you do not identify with them, there is a much higher risk you will lead them to suicide. You say, well, I'm not stood there with a rope in my hand or a gun in my hand or all those kind of things. Okay, yes. We don't want to add to their sense of guilt by suggesting that if they were closer to God, they would not have those suicidal thoughts. Well, if you hadn't wandered from God, you wouldn't be here. Don't do that. Saving a friend or family member, by the way, will interrupt your schedule. You know, I got to get to this meeting. I'm going to have to go. You know how most people, a lot of people spell love? T-I-M-E. Some people would rather have negative attention than no attention. We've noticed that with some of our kids. Sometimes they would rather get in trouble as their way to communicate that we need you again than just say, we need you. Invest time in creating an action plan. So stay and talk to them. Now listen, you say, how do I identify with other person? You've all been at times in your life where the devil tried to speak to you and say, you know, it'd be better off if we just ended it. We've all had thoughts at some time or another. Most people have at least entertained the thoughts of suicide at different times of intense stress in their life. I mean, maybe you've been physically ill, or maybe you've gone through a time and said, boy, I just wish I was dead. Identify with the hurting person, and then third, initiate a loving, calculated, careful, and sensitive response. Let me just say this. Ignoring them is the worst possible scenario. You ever try to ignore something hoping it would go away? That does not work. Some people are from families, and I don't know what kind of family you are, but some people are from families, they just don't address the issues. What do? They sweep them under the rug, and when they come together for big family things, they all act like nothing's ever happened. They put the fun in dysfunctional. See, but a healthy person will seek to bring about help and healing for a family member struggling with suicidal thoughts. Oh, it's not, let's sweep this under the rug. Let's not pretend what it will make our family life. No, they look to help the person. So they invest that time. Then step four, ask the key question. This is huge. Do you have a plan or a method to take your life? So if somebody says, I'm planning on taking my life, this may feel awkward, but this is the best question that you can ask after you're done listening. I hear what you're saying. I hear your hurt. How do you intend to end your life? Or how do you intend to kill yourself? And if they start giving you a detailed plan, that's bad. Something needs to be done. Because this is something I have before. I've talked to teenagers, I've talked to adults, and they say, I feel like I'm in my life. Well, if you would end your life, what would you do? And when they start to go in this elaborate, detailed plan, I'm like, we need to call 911. I make sure that I will not be out of their sight until they're at the hospital. But if somebody says, you know, I just want to kill myself. Well, what would you do? I don't know. Well, I don't think you need to call the hospital in that particular case. The more details they give, the closer they are to attempting the suicide. Ask them, how would you do it? When would you do it? And here's the thing you need to understand. If they have a plan, method, or timeline, they are in immediate danger. And when they're in immediate danger, when somebody's suicidal, immediate danger, stay with them at all times. Do not let them be by themselves. They don't. If they say, I need to just step away, I need to use the restroom, no. They should not be left alone. And then you got to do whatever it takes to get the professional help. If you're at home and you're not listening, call 911. But here's another one you can take. Step five, access the National Suicide Prevention Network. Prevent. Here's my thing. Sometimes mental health issues are spiritual issues. And sometimes they're not. And so let me tell you how I approach it as a spiritual counselor. I try to help them as much as I can spiritually, but I do understand that not all mental health issues are spiritual issues. Sometimes their brain is misfiring. Sometimes there's something physically, hereditarily wrong with them that needs medication or needs something else. And so I'm not trying to figure this out right now. We're going to get them into a hospital. We're going to get them the help that they need. And then when they come through this high stress situation, then I'm going to help them as much as I can spiritually. But once it's beyond spiritual, once they kind of get into the medical, well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to toss it up to the expert. Here's the thing. In church, everybody likes to try to say that all problems are spiritual problems. And the problem is outside the church, everybody likes to say that no problems are spiritual problems. And there's actually a mixture of both when it comes to mental health issues. Not all the time is it schizophrenia. Sometimes it has to do with demonic activity. But it's not always demonic activity. Sometimes it could be bipolar or schizophrenia or some other mental health issue. So here's the numbers to write down. If you need to put some of that stuff in your phone, if you're a Facebooker, I'm sure that all Instagram and all the other ones have that at this point in time. But the organization, the reason I mentioned Facebook, it's interesting. This organization interfaces with Facebook to geographically pinpoint suicidal notions using online comments in order to provide assistance. Here's the point, and we're going to be talking about this a lot because one, it's near and dear to my heart. One, it's another, I believe that it's an area where the church has not helped people that we need to do a better job of helping people. But no one is unaffected by mental illness. That's why I don't want our church to be a church where every time you come, you feel like you have to be okay in order to come. I want you to know that there are times it's okay to come to church and it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to share that. I want you to share that. If you haven't struggled with this personally, I guarantee you someone sitting to the right or left of you has. As Christians, we need to build awareness of the problem and remove the stigma because mental illness affects everyone. We can't save those who have already committed suicide. But there are others around us that are struggling, and God can use to help them find the answers that they're looking for to their unanswered questions. When it comes to suicide, when it comes to mental illness, that even Christians, think about this, we as Christians are going to the world to ask them to give us the answer. When God in His Word supplies what we need to help those who are hurting mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So I pray tonight will give you just kind of a toolbox to kind of go off and keep this somewhere, write it down somewhere, put these to memory, and have a plan in place, because it's really, if you're going to love and serve God and impact people with the gospel, it's not a matter of if somebody will come to you with suicidal thoughts. It's a matter of when. So what are you going to do when that happens? Let's pray, and then I'll take some of your questions. Father, this is a tough issue to talk about. At the end of the day, it's a lot of us, we don't want to talk about those times where we consider taking our life, people would be better off without us. And Lord, not only is it rampant in the church, Lord, it's so rampant in our society today. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to not run away from this issue as a church, that you'd help us to run toward it. Help us to be a help to those who are struggling spiritually, mentally, emotionally. People who are thinking about taking their own life. And Lord, may we be a light in this dark world, especially when people are experiencing that darkness, not only mentally, but physically and even emotionally. God, help us to be a help to those that are struggling.
For it's your name I pray. Amen.